This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. And you're listening to episode 65 from Monday, May 28th, 2018.
We have a fantastic episode for you this week. We're going to talk about the beer we're drinking.
God damn it.
Why I'm a little bit nervous that Amazon's going to close my account.
Amazon also may have been listening to us, but we don't think so. A millennial who overstayed his welcome. And this week we've got another double dose of crazy news stories.
Memorial Day.
It is Memorial Day.
It is. Are we releasing the episode on Memorial Day?
Of course. People won't be driving to work.
I took the day after Memorial Day off too, just for funsies. So I have a 4-day weekend, which I feel like I really deserve after this last week. You know, I'm not going to bore everyone with the details of my life and the shenanigans that happened, but let's just say we're recording a little bit later and that's than usual in the evening. 8:45, because I haven't been home from work all that long, and it's the fucking Friday before Memorial Day. But nonetheless, you know, I'm here. So Memorial Day, I'm not really doing anything in particular. What I am doing though is taking Colin to the Tigers game tomorrow. So
that's good. We'll be baseballing too. We've got a tournament up here for my son's little league team, and we start tomorrow morning at 8:00. So I do have two beers here, so I'll have to pace myself. And he's got a second game at noon and then another one sometime on Sunday. Hopefully the rain will hold out. But we've got all our jerseys and helmets and all that crap. And just watch a couple of the other kids for the grade down, or I guess the age year down. Watch them play a little bit before coming home and getting him to bed, because we got to be up bright and early. So we'll both be having baseball days.
Did you see, is it a tournament or a tournament? How do you say that?
A tournament.
A tournament.
I did say tournament.
You said tour.
I did?
Tournament. Tournament.
I'm tired.
I don't know. I mean, it's down. T-O-U-R. Tour. A tour. Of,
yeah. Tournament. I usually say tournament.
Do you?
But I was thinking ahead.
You put the emphasis on the tournament.
Right.
When it you will said be it like the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did pre-drink today. While I ate my dinner that was heated up in the microwave. It was delicious, but had been cooked several hours before. I indulged in a Backwoods Bastard from Founders, so got a nice bourbon barrel stout in the gullet, and I'm working on another one right now.
I think while we're actually ready to dive into these beers, since you're already talking about yours, how about we start?
Let's do it. I lost the website.
Okay.
Why is it so quiet?
I guess I didn't have it set up correctly.
The levels set incorrectly, Robert.
I'm tired. It's hot.
What do I pay you for? Can't even get the levels.
Not near enough. You need to hear it again?
Hey, bartender!
Oh, good.
Here.
Perfect. Okay, I wasn't sure what we were about to talk about, but now that I heard the drop, I know that we're not talking about crazy news yet.
No, it's not that time.
No, it's time for beer.
We'll get there. What do you got?
Yes, I have. So this is a new brewery, never had before. It is it's from Wolverine State Brewing Company out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And you might know, you know, that might be obvious because Ann Arbor is where the University of Michigan is located, and they are the Wolverines. So I feel like this brewery probably was piggybacking off that a little bit. But what I have here is the Barista Cold Brew Coffee Lager. It's 13 IBUs, 6.6% alcohol by volume. I don't know if I've ever had a lager on the show before, and I don't drink a lot of lagers.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it looked interesting nonetheless, and it would be unique for me to see a lager that's actually brewed with cold brew coffee. So I'm like, I'll try it out. I was at, this was when I was, last time I visited our friends at Napa Valley Beverage Company over at 15 Amount of Sterling Heights. So according to the website here, which is wolverinebeer.com, it says, we brew this beer in collaboration with Ruse Roast of Ann Arbor, Carl the Brewer, Do you know Carl?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I do.
I was paying.
Have you ever been to a tournament?
He's been to many beer tournaments. Sorry, I was checking to see if you were paying attention.
I was paying attention.
Carl the Brewer used to be a coffee roaster before joining the brewing world, and so we put him in charge of the coffee side. Carl and John Roos chose a Colombian Santa Barbara. That's
Hanna-Barbera.
Santa Barbara.
Bean Santa Maria.
Roasted.
Hanna-Barbera.
Roasted that shit dark to keep the acidity down, as well as the amount of caffeine contributed to the beer. We estimate that a 12-ounce glass of Barista has a little less caffeine, than a can of Coke. Well, I'm staying up late tonight. So you probably won't see people bouncing off the walls. I don't know about that. Well, a can of Coke, I try not to drink the pops at night.
So the good news is we're not doing this on a Thursday. So even if you do have to stay up a little bit later, at least tomorrow, Saturday, and you don't have to worry. Done it last night, then you'd have to stay up and go to work today, and you'd have been there late.
It's true. Stop interrupting me. The beer we brew.
You're still okay.
This is a really long
one. Do I need to play the intro again?
In case everybody forgot what we were doing. We're talking about beer, folks. Folks. The beer we brew for Barista is Canadian 6-row barley malt base with small additions of aromatic malt, which boosts the perception of malt sweetness, chocolate malt, biscuit malt. I never heard of biscuit malt. That's new. Yeah. A special roast malt from Wisconsin that adds a bit more sourdough character. And if I'm finishing this, I don't even care. And orange hues from then biscuit malt, a pinch of black malt for color, and just a little smidgen of black malt. And then we use some amber liquid malt extract to get better brew house efficiency. Barista is...
Worst episode ever.
It's hot very lightly. With East Kent Golding hops from the UK, which have an earthy and herbal hop flavor that goes well with the earthiness of the coffee. The grains, including this beer, are 6-row, chocolate malt, special roast, kiln amber, roasted barley. I don't know why they talk so much about biscuit malt, because that's not even listed here.
I like
and biscuits. Hops include East Kent Golding and Hallertau Mittelfrühl. So anyway, this lager, I'm going to try it right now.
If it tastes like shit, I'm going to be pissed. Listening to all that. I'm glad we have music that goes behind it, too.
It's actually...
Nice music bed.
Yeah, no, that's nice. The piano music just really puts me at ease with the really, really long description of this beer. It's pretty good. I do like it. I mean, it has a very strong coffee presence. So I feel like I'm drinking a cold brew coffee that has beer added to it. So if you like the coffee taste, you get a lot of it in this beer. I taste a little bit of the chocolate. I don't know if I taste biscuits. Apparently that's in there. There's a couple of biscuits and sourdough. I don't know. I don't taste any sourdough in here. Like it doesn't taste like I'm drinking that out of a bread bowl or anything like that. But it's pretty good. I like it. It has a nice chocolatey finish, but that cold brew coffee hits you right up front. Not bad, especially for a lager. I wasn't sure what to expect, but it's not a bad beer. I rated it at 3.75 on Untappd.
That's respectable.
Yeah, it's a good beer. I might pick it up. You know, I don't know if I'll seek it out, but it's a beer that if I happen upon it, I might drink it again.
Well, I was going to ask you how it felt to drink a lager and how it compared to some of the stouts, but you answered that. So that's good. I guess really at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what it is. Like, you don't really need to know that it's a lager or a stout, and just tell somebody's got coffee, chocolate, all that same kind of, you know, those flavors in there. And it's probably pretty good.
Yeah, it's a little bit thinner. It's not quite as thicker, malty of a pour is what I usually drink. So it's a little bit thinner of a pour. You don't taste the lactose that you taste in a lot of the other, especially like the milk stouts and things like that. Yeah. But again, it's a nice nice balance of flavor.
Well, good. We didn't plan this, but I actually have something very similar to it. So I went over to my friends Synergy. Over there at Norm's, and I posted a picture on Instagram, and I think it went to Facebook of me outside the Norm's Beer and Wine, and I've got a Commonwealth Brewing Company Marvolo, which is a Imperial Stout, and it's actually very dark, as you can see. So it's for something very similar to what you would normally drink.
Yeah.
And I was just looking around for something different, and this wasn't a big giant bottle because I'd kind of gone through those, and I grabbed another one of the tiramisu stouts that I had last week, and Melissa's got that upstairs. And I got a couple other things. I got a surprise for next week that I almost did today, but knowing I've got to get up early for baseball, I decided to not push it because it's a good-sized bottle.
It has cocaine in it.
I might need it by next week. the way this last week's going and this week coming up is going to be, I probably will need a little bit of extra help there. But again, what I've got is a Commonwealth Marvolo, which is from Commonwealth Brewing Company. And it is a... I can't even...
Prepared tonight.
Yeah, it's an Imperial Chocolate Stout. And it is roasted with cold brewed coffee, toasted dark coconut, and Dutch cocoa melt. Merged seamlessly to sire this superbly... smooth roast infused with flavors so bold and dark that even he who must not be named would stop in for a quick drink mid-mayhem. And it's 8.5% alcohol by volume, 40 IBUs. And I've already had a sip, but I'm going to go ahead and take a little bit more and then see what I think.
Their website is broken.
Well, I Googled it, and I put the name, and I figured with a name by Marvolo, and it came up, and it didn't have anything. It said... 409, I think, or 403, one of those errors. So I just went to CommonwealthBrewingCompany.com and I searched our beer for Marvolo, and it's there. They've got the Nitro Stout on there. This one isn't a Nitro, and the markings on the can are so small I can't read it without taking my glasses off. So old ass man drinking this beer, but I think a lot like yours. I taste a lot of the coffee. I get a subtle hint of the chocolate kind of on the finish. So it's there, but the coffee and the imperial part of it is actually really prevalent up at the front. You taste alcohol in it. It's not quite as strong as drinking vodka straight, but you do. It is an imperial, definitely from the first sip. I like it. I rated it, I think, a 4.25 on Untappd. Oh. And I have a 4-pack, and I've got one other can here. And they're nice, big, kind of like tall boy cans. So I'm not quite sure if they're... It still says 16 ounce, but it's pretty cool. And it's from a brewery here in Virginia. It's down in Virginia Beach, so a little ways away from me. But I'm glad I grabbed these.
Yeah, I'm looking. I was looking for the beer because it looks pretty good. But it's pretty much in D.C. metro area, greater Richmond area, and Hampton Roads, whatever the fuck that is. So
that's Virginia Beach.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So not, and they do have it at Norm's in Vienna, Virginia.
Yeah, that's where I picked it up.
Yeah, over on Branch Road, Southeast.
Yeah, I think so. I just know where it is. I don't know the road. I know how to get there.
Branch Road, Southeast of Vienna.
It's worth a trip.
Maybe I'll stop in sometime.
If you're ever down there in Branch Road. Well, it looks like we've got two great beers in very similar styles this week.
Look at that. We know our shit.
So you tell me a little bit of trouble you had earlier. You ordered a product from Amazon that may or may not work.
Uh-huh.
So what do you do?
And if it doesn't work, it's shit's missing parts or accessories and gets returned.
Well, I looked and I saw this article come up earlier this week and I had to laugh and I saved it. And then you sent it to me probably half hour after I saw it. But I think I was driving and I saw it pop up on my watch. So I hit save for later. I was going to send it to you, but evidently Amazon is on to people like you. And I don't remember exactly what episode it was many moons back where we talked about your procedure, your policy for returning things. But they're on to people, and they're actually banning people that return too much of their crap.
Yeah. So this is my thing. I don't cheat the system. Maybe I list missing parts or accessories sometimes because I don't want to pay for return shipping, and so they give me the label if I put that on there. But right. they have a pretty open return policy. They're supposed to have this easy return policy, so I utilize it when there's things that I buy that I have to return. Like, again, I don't buy things just to return them, but I do return things. But I'm a little bit nervous, though, because, like, I returned something, like, earlier in the week, and then today I returned three things. Okay, so...
I think if stuff is unopened, it's probably not that big of a deal. But if you've got stuff that's open and you're sending it back and you're using that, and I understand where you're coming from, but I think that's probably where they get it. But I think you returned something before that was completely unopened, and it cost them a couple bucks to
send it back. An unopened video game and put missing parts or accessories on it. It's a fucking PlayStation game. But like I returned three things today, including, and they were three, like, literally, and you can't see, but if I spread my arms apart as wide as they can be, that's about the size of each box.
Yeah.
And they were patio furniture cushions that elderly listener and Mr. Elderly listener had purchased for Kelly and I that were just too small for the chair. So, and they were gifts, but I returned them, and I'm like, God, I've returned like four things over the last less than a week here, so I'm a little bit nervous. But I look at it, I'm like, God, we've been members of Amazon Prime for probably a dozen years.
Yeah.
I have multiple Alexa devices in my house. I have an Amazon security camera. I subscribe to Apple Music to Amazon Music Unlimited. I'm like, I give them a good amount of money. Like, I feel like. They should cut me some slack, and I buy a ton of stuff from them. So
we do too.
You know, even though I do return things sometimes, I'd say the vast majority of what I buy I return. But anyway, according to USA Today,
you don't return or you do.
I return some things.
Okay, you said the vast majority of the stuff you return.
Well, that's the beer talking. No, the vast majority of things that I buy, I keep. I return some things, and it's if it's broken, if it's the wrong thing, if it doesn't match the description that they gave me on the website, I do return things sometimes. But again, according to USA Today, this is Wall Street Journal originally reported it. Mm-hmm. It says Amazon's banning customers from making purchases on their retailing site for practices such as returning too many items. It says here, the report says that two customers who had their accounts banned without warning, one customer, his name is Nir Nisim, same thing, it must be cousin, said he was banned because of his return activity. Eventually, after several calls to Amazon, his account was reinstated. I don't know. It says it's rare for a customer. Amazon, in a statement, says it's rare for a customer to receive a ban for abusing their service for a long period of time.
Yeah, I think it has to be pretty excessive for you to get that way. Because even brick and mortar stores, the Best Buy, Targets, those guys, they track all that too. And I think they'll do a lot of the same thing where they really try to monitor what actually is being returned, because there's a lot of fraud from that too. So they've got to protect themselves.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if I go to Walmart and buy something, like, they're not going to tell me I can't come shop at Walmart anymore because I've returned too many things. Like, we all know they just throw that shit back on the shelf and sell for the same price anyway as those sly bastards. So, I mean...
this ointment's been opened.
Well, it came open.
It's missing the application nozzle and I can't get it in.
See, I run into shit like that. That's me. Totally me.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, I mean, I think they all do it. So Amazon's getting a little flat because...
Bishak Shekdev.
Returned too much shit, and now is... But, I mean, they reinstated it. I guess they probably have some algorithm that causes it that, you know, just pulls it up. But I think if you buy enough stuff from them, it's not that big a deal to them.
Probably not. What is a big deal, though, is Amazon Alexa devices spying on our conversations and then emailing the conversations to strangers.
Yeah, this is big news this week. And we talked about, I guess it was a few weeks ago when we talked about Facebook and all the hubbub about the privacy there. And people are very nervous. And I think I even shared, too, about a guy that I ran into at Best Buy that I was explaining to him how my Hue lights work. And he said, I don't want any of that stuff listening in on my house. And I think, you know, you've got, and it even came up on iMore earlier today about, you know, you've got your phone listening to you. You've got your smart TVs, even some of them have got microphones. There's a lot of things around us that have microphones that are listening constantly that I don't know that you can really put all that much pressure on Amazon or your Echo devices that they're any different than anything else.
No, I think, you know, I tend to agree with you. I mean, there's just so many things that are listening to our conversations all the time. I kind of like just gave up on trying to stop things from tracking me and listening to me. Like, I got rid of Facebook, right? But like, again, I can get rid of all the Echo devices, but first I'd miss them.
Yes.
And secondly, I still have plenty of things. It reminds me of the guy who put the magical tape, scotch tape.
I have that on mine.
Over his I have Echo that on my spot. Echo. And then puts his phone on his nightstand to charge it every night that has a camera on it. Like, and doesn't cover that. On a stand
that holds it up, too.
Yeah, even better. Even better.
It faces right at me so I can see.
Yeah, but this is really interesting. Now, first, before we get into this article,
yeah,
if you pull the article up and you look at the hands that's in the very top picture right above, right under the headline, like, they couldn't have found somebody with a... Like the hand, they look like dead people hands. There's a dead person holding what appears to be an echo dot.
He's got a flesh eating bacteria on his middle finger.
Like,
for sure.
Yeah, one of the fingers. They're just snaggly. Like, looks like Helen Keller cut his nails. Like, they could have put some fucking lotion on your hands. Before you take this picture, they're dried and they're nasty and it's huge because it covers
they're discolored.
Like, yeah.
Right geez. There on the inside.
Yeah. What's up with that? It looks like beef jerky with nails on it. It's disgusting. The hell is wrong with Quartz Media? They can't find somebody with better hands. Was it only employee? They had nobody else to choose from.
Yeah. Well, what happened was that there's a woman in Portland, Oregon, found out that her family's home digital assistant had recorded a conversation between her and her husband without their permission or awareness and sent the audio recording to a random person on their contact list.
I want to send all of mine to you.
Well, I every now and then I toy with the idea because we both have an Echo show in the... mine's in my kitchen. I think that's where yours is. And I've got the spot. I probably wouldn't turn that one on. But every now and then I toy with the idea of trying to see if we can convince each other to turn the phone, the visual voice or face calling or whatever the fuck it's called on these devices to have us enable them. It's called
face calling.
Yeah. So we... so we can like randomly pop into each other's kitchen.
Well, I do that. I have mindset that only like I can call it though, but I pop in all the time. Watch. So let's see here. Open the Alexa app. So I have my Alexa app here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell it drop in. Drop it on the kitchen.
I think I have all that turned off. Yeah. I see something.
Yeah. And there's my kitchen right there. Hold on. It's coming into view.
The screen's really bright.
Guy's going to be thinking, oh, there's my kitchen.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The microwave.
Yeah.
Got some cookbooks up there.
Yep. All right. Let me hang up. Bye, Kelly. All right. She's got to be thinking, what the hell's going on? Because like,
she wasn't making my brownies yet.
It doesn't ring, but it goes like it makes a noise. Yeah. And it blurs the video for a minute, so that way if you're up to no good, you can stop your activity and hide or something like that. I don't know. So it gives you a little bit of a warning, but it's not like the other person has to accept the call. It's not like a It's like if you were to FaceTime somebody, only instead of asking the person you're calling to accept the call, it just accepts it automatically and turns on your camera and microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
Luckily, this conversation that they had was about random mundane crap. It was about hardwood floors, but it could have been something else. And you never know. I mean, if the things that you have, the conversations that you have in your privacy of your own home, a lot of that stuff you don't want out. So they're lucky it was just about a hardwood floor, but they're suggesting everybody unplug it, and they're going a bit extreme. And Amazon's response was, hey, it was a one-time thing, it hurt. And even and sometimes I'll look down at our Echo that we have here, I'm being careful not to trigger it, and you'll say it just earlier, and then the blue lights start flashing, and it was listening to you. So I think that the way that Amazon's explaining it is that, much like when it laughed at everybody we talked about a few weeks ago, they just accidentally triggered it, and somehow it got the idea that it needed to send it to whoever this person was, and that's what it did. So
to kind of like run through how it worked is, so Amazon, they did acknowledge the incident. They told Recode, who is the person that the online site that reported this, it wasn't a hack. So this is basically a narrative of what happened. So first, Echo woke up due to a word in the background conversation sounding like, you know, a Alexa. Then the subsequent conversation was heard as a like send message request. So you can say, hey, Alexa, send a message to blah, blah, blah. So at which point Alexa said out loud, to whom, at which point the background conversation was interpreted as a name in the customer's contact list. So if I were to say, Alex, send a message to Robert Kilimowski. And then, then it said aloud. So then Alexa then asked out loud the contact name, right? Alexa then interpreted background conversation as right. As unlikely as a string of events is, we are evaluating options to make this case even less likely. So again, it was sort of like a string of errors that caused this entire thing to play out. So I would say, like, generally, it's pretty safe to assume that this entire thing. So she'd have to hear her name, then think that she hears that you want to send a message, and then think that she hears a name on your contact list, and then thinks that she hears you agreeing that that's the person it gets sent to, and then hearing the background conversation to send it out. That's a pretty random, that's a far-fetched thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And unplugging it, I think, is like going way above and beyond. That's the paranoia. That's the tinfoil hat. So I think another thing too is that these devices are gaining, I mean, as popular as they have been, it's like rolling downhill big time now. More and more people, you know, my mother-in-law just got one this week. It was given to her as a gift, so she's playing with it. But there's a lot of people that are either buying them, they're getting them as gifts. The prices are coming down. There's new models out. So as more and more of these come out there, and it's still fairly new, so it just takes either Amazon, Google, or whomever that is putting these out to kind of adjust what happens. And we found that out with the laughing. They find ways to almost add like a second layer of security, or the two-factor authentication that you get when the website you're trying to log into for your bank says, hey, I've got to send you a text to make sure it's you. It's almost that they have to try to put in the software to keep these things from happening. Rightfully so. They've got to be aware of it. So I don't think it's, like you said, I certainly haven't unplugged mine, and I've got several of them, so I don't know. It's not that big of a deal, but I thought it was interesting that it came up, that I know both of us really like the Echo units, and I know a lot of people out there have them, so I just thought it was kind of interesting. I was curious to see what you thought.
Yeah, and you know, part of it is just understanding what data or what information Alexa has access to and what she doesn't have access to. So for instance, again, I only have certain contacts that she has access to. I don't link her to my to my iCloud contacts or anything like that, which is where all of my contacts live, in my phone to go to my devices. She doesn't have, Alexa doesn't have access to that. So, you know, I'm not too worried about it. It has me in there and a couple other people. But if I really want to be able to call somebody or send somebody a message, I'll add them at that point. Other than that, they don't have access. So
I don't think I added any of that. I wanted the basic stuff, control my lights, set timers, all that random crap. But, you know, I think, our, you know, going on to our next topic here, our friend over here in New York, Michael Rotondo, I don't think he's got an Amazon Alexa. So I don't think he has anything to worry about.
No, the only thing he has to be worried about is getting into trouble from a judge after this 30-year-old demanded notice for eviction from his parents' house.
So, yeah, he fell on hard times, and like a lot of people do, he moved back with his parents. And after a couple of years, they decided it was time for him to go, and they kept trying to, like, persuade him to leave. Like, all right, you know, it's time to go, and they would eventually started just leaving him letters, I guess, to make it more official versus trying to talk around the subject. And it's kind of sensitive with your kids. It's not like you want to be an asshole and kick them out. But at the same time, when you're old enough, it's like, okay, it's time to go. You need to figure stuff out for yourself. You can't live here forever. So they'd leave him notes and they'd leave him money and like, hey, here's $1,000 that'll cover your down payment and or your deposit or whatever. And you can go find a place to live. Get a job. And he said, no, I need 6 months notice before you can evict me from here.
So he's basically like trying to like say that like your standard landlord tenant law.
Yeah, but even more, what landlord has to give 6 months for somebody to get out? That's half a year. That's pretty
normal, actually.
Is it?
It is. So what's kind of funny is the fact that he's treating this as if he is a tenant and his parents are his landlord, but
yeah.
Looking at the article, it doesn't really seem like he's paying them rent, nor does it seem like they have a rental agreement. So for all they could say is he's trespassing on their property and he needs to leave.
Yeah, so Michael, here's the $1,100 for most of you so you can find a place to stay. Letter doesn't provide a reason as to why the parents want their son out, but suggests he get a job, move his broken car out of the driveway, sell some of his belongings, such as his stereo and weapons, to make money in the interim. So he's probably got a bunch of ninja stars and long knives here looking at him, some swords hanging up on the
nudie
wall.
Nudie magazines.
Yeah, nudie magazines. But yeah, they're in Camillus, New York, near Syracuse, had brought the court case forward after their son ignored several eviction letters, some of which offered money. At what point do you feel like you have to evict your own child?
He's refusing
out of the house.
He's refusing to leave.
He's 30.
They've gotten to the point in their lives where they just want to not have their kids living at home anymore. And this fucker just refuses to leave. And chances are, I mean, he doesn't have a job. Like, he's got to eat, right? He's got to eat. He still has expenses. Mm-hmm. So probably what's happening is he's just sucking the life out of his parents and refusing to go away. So they probably tried to be super nice about it at first, offering him money, things like that. But then started to get more nasty and more nasty and more nasty. It says, so one of the, either his mother or father said, there are jobs available even for those with a poor work history like you. Get one. You have to work.
I saw that. And it made me think about, this is not something that just all of a sudden occurred. Like, he just fell on hard times and he's having a hard time. They've known for a long time that he was going to struggle. And they had probably sat around every weekend with their fingers crossed and prayed to whoever they had to pray to that he would not come home. And then when he did, he decided to stay for a longer time than they had hoped.
Wow. You took him to court.
Yeah. So the judge said, yeah, you got to get out. You can't do this. This is not a real thing. You know, you can't just sit there. So
trespassing. See, I wouldn't even take it to court. If I were his parents, if it got that bad and it got to the point where I was saying, you have to go, and he was refusing, I would have just called the cops on him. Like, this fucker won't leave.
Yeah, Rotondo put up a tough fight, refusing to speak directly to his parents in court, relying only on his legal arguments. So he's a piece of crap. Greenwood listened quietly, then corrected his claim that he was entitled to live in his house for more than 6 months. According to the Post Standard, he said family members get special treatment in only rare circumstances and called the 6 month extension outrageous. So he was basically told by the judge, get the fuck out and go get a job and get on with your life and leave your parents alone.
Amazing.
So it's pretty wild that it comes to that. And I don't, you know, the other thing I think about when I read this is if it were me and I was this, I don't remember what his first name was, but Michael, would I be able to live there knowing that there was this much tension? I couldn't take it. Like I'd figure out something just to get out so that I didn't have to live in this. Cause you know, you've got to see them. Like you said, he's not paying for his own food. He's got to go up and mooch out of the pantry. So just knowing that you're going to see them, they can come down at any time or go up at any time, assuming he's not in the basement. But I don't think I could live around that kind of just overall tension 24/7.
No. And the problem is though, is you and I, in my opinion, aren't fucking losers.
No, I would hope not. Our wives might tell us otherwise, but no.
And you know what? Who cares what they think?
I'm still waiting for my brownies. Kelly, after last week's episode with the X-Lax, Kelly promised me a brownie. So
She did. I'm still waiting. She needs to go to the pharmacy to get the last ingredient, though.
But that's a fun one. I don't know. If you've got any thoughts about that, if you've lived with your parents for too long and they tried kicking you out and it didn't quite work, let us know.
Yeah, please do. And if you're this guy, go fuck off.
Yeah, don't let us know. Well, before we get into our crazy news, we've got another show promo this week from our friends at Hey Down in Front, which is a movie-related podcast.
Hey, everyone. Blaze and Will here from Hey Down in Front Podcast.
Join us every Tuesday as we provide the movie commentary that you never asked for.
Who's throwing a party?
That's going to be terrible.
We go over our weekly entertainment-based adventures.
God, if you're listening, help!
Then we dig in and tear apart the movies everyone loves.
Oh, I had my mouth open, you f***ing animal!
Whoa. Check us out on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher.
I had to rewind myself.
I know! All right, thanks for mansplaining that to me, ladies.
And give us a follow on Instagram at heydowninfront_podcast and Twitter at HDIF_podcast. See you next Tuesday.
Oh, okay, Blaze.
See, they come out on Tuesdays. We come out on Mondays. So you can listen to the two Bobs. And then on Tuesday, you're looking for something else. Hey Down in Front. And they're available at heydowninfrontpodcast.podbean.com. PODBEAN.
I wish I had time to watch movies.
I know. I watched the other day, and I tend to put my little Funko Pop Pennywise figurines in my untapped check-ins now, like you do your little snowman, your Tauntaun there. You've got your stuffed Tauntaun.
I
went back and I watched some of the extras for It because I really need to sit down and watch the movie again. It's such a great movie. And I know Shayna from You Don't Know Ish podcast actually got to meet the kids at Comic-Con, wherever that was, probably Ohio is where she lives. But that really made me want to watch it again. So I need to try to find some time, maybe this weekend since it's a long weekend.
I've been trying to watch the movie Annihilation with Natalie Portman, some other Sold. People. It had me at Natalie Portman too. ever since she was in, which Star Wars episode was it? Episode 3, I think.
Yeah, the Jar Jar one.
Two,
I think.
She was in 2 and 3, I think. No, she was in all of them, wasn't she? She was in the first one.
Yeah,
yeah. Because when Amidala or whatever. Queen Amidala. I immediately had a crush on her, and that has followed me through to now. But anyway, I've been trying to watch it for a while, and I just can't even stay awake long enough to watch more than a half hour at a time.
That's the thing with movies; they're so long, and by the time you actually get down, particularly with kids, it's usually late, and then you got to look at the time. Like a lot of times, by the when we sit down and look, it's like 9 o'clock. It's like, well. Yeah. Okay, well, that'll be 11. And do I have enough to get to 11? A lot of times we don't. Sometimes we'll just do it and we'll look or we'll find some stuff on HBO or any of those Amazon, I think, or I don't know. It was one of the streaming services had a a series that we thought was pretty funny. We kind of looked for some of those since House of Cards is defunct. But anyhow, I'm ready for crazy news.
I have a question, though.
Bring it on.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
It is a sandwich. Yes.
Okay. I mean, I've been thinking about this. So a hamburger is also a sandwich then?
Yeah. It's got bread. It does. What makes a sandwich if it's not in bread? I mean, a quesadilla is technically a sandwich.
No, it's
Mexican bread. We talked about this.
We have. Why do we got to bring this back up? So I would agree that a hot dog is a sandwich because
it's not a burger?
No, a burger is.
It's the same thing. It's just a different shape. It's
stuff in between two pieces of bread.
Okay.
I don't agree with the whole quesadilla thing. That's just stupid.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Well, it's just a quesadilla. It's not really a sandwich. It's its own genre of food.
If the government of the United States made beer illegal, would you move to Canada?
I don't know that I'm prepared to answer that, but I have enough other things that I would drink. If it was all alcohol,
I might
have to make a case for it.
I really do like
beer. And I'm not a heavy drinker. We drink on the show, and you know, once or twice during the week, maybe, and sometimes not at all.
True.
So I could do without if I really had to, but I do. There are certain weeks like this week and other weeks that you have throughout the year where you need something really to take the edge off, and that's one of the ways.
Yeah.
So I do like having that option, and I think as our history has shown in this country that, you know, getting rid of the alcohol or any of that type of product is not really something that's going to work.
So what you're saying is you don't think they should bring back the prohibition.
Right. And I don't know that I would actually move completely to another country just so that I could have it. Sure. I would probably consider it, but I'd have to evaluate where I was at that point in time to see if it was something that was worthwhile.
Fantastic. I agree.
How about you? You're close to Canada. You're a lot closer. It's an hour drive for you.
So I feel like I could still live in the U.S. and just drink beer, just go to Canada to drink beer. Because like you said, less than an hour from now. If I left right now, especially because there's no traffic, it's 9:30 at night when we're recording right now, by 10 o'clock I could be at the border and I could be through the border and into Windsor probably in 45 minutes. Less than an hour for sure right now.
So you could start this episode leaving your house, and by the time you get there, you get to the end, you hear the outro come out, you'd already be drunk.
Yeah, I'd be at the casino already. So we should record an episode where while we're recording, I'm on the road driving to Canada.
Well, I still have visions, and I had it just this week. And we talked about it before, and it made me think about it in our conversation last week about getting to Chicago. I'm sitting like Ocean's 11. We're sitting in a casino or a hotel somewhere recording an episode, and then who knows what happens where we run off after that.
But shenanigans. We have to steal money.
That's fine.
It's job security for me, stealing money.
I mean, we're drinking illegal alcohol. We might as well steal money to pay for it.
For sure. I mean, it's going to be super expensive if it's illegal. So anyway,
did
we play the drop yet?
I haven't yet. Let's do it now before we forget.
Did we do the promo already? No, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Hey, down in front.
Yeah, that's how we got on the movies and all that stuff, how we don't have time and I want to watch Pennywise.
We're on Mondays or Tuesdays.
I want to know when the second Pennywise movie is coming out.
So speaking of Pennywise, I'm not exactly sure how that segue was going to turn out.
This is from our friends in Ohio again, so you're going to like
this. Oh, and by the way.
Yeah? Oh, no.
Last week, we were talking about Indiana.
You said a lot of derogatory things.
Talking about Ohio. I was talking about the FIFOs in Ohio. So I and that we had a particular listener that was just having a really bad day with podcasts, and so I would like to say I want to recant just a little bit and say that, you know, one of the things that's terrible about driving in Ohio and why I hate it, it's not because of Ohio. Well, it is. It's because of the people, because they drive so slow. But at the same time, it's because there are state troopers every 10 feet on every single road in Ohio. Ohio must have like 1.3 million state troopers, and they're all working around the clock 7 days a week because there are so many state troopers in Ohio. It's ridiculous. So that's what and also, you know, at the end of the day, nobody really cares about Ohio except every 4 years when there's a presidential election. They tend to get right in the thick of it and just fuck everything up. Like, oh, what's going on with Ohio? That's going to throw the whole election. Whoa, Ohio. So that's my disdain with Ohio. But I do know some people from Ohio. They're not all bad, just most of them are, but not all of them are bad.
Most of them are shit, except for the ones that actually called you out.
So hopefully that makes them feel better.
Well, we had that on Twitter too. One of our
you can podcast. Move. You don't have to live in Ohio. Sorry. <Yeah. go>
One of our podcast friends in Ohio really took advantage of it and then said, "Like, well, I live in Ohio." And I think your response was, "Well, at least it's not Indiana." He's like, "Well, yeah, touche."
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse.
I agree.
It could be way worse. You could live in fucking Delaware or something like that. I mean, who lives in Delaware? Anyway, so let's move on to CBS News, where an Ohio man calls police on a pig following him home. And he's not speaking metaphorically. There's an actual pig, the animal version of a pig, not a police officer, following him home. A man in Ohio realized the downside of bringing home the bacon.
Oh, bacon.
Derp. When a pig wouldn't stop following him on his way home early Saturday morning, police in Elyria, Ohio, say they thought the unidentified man must have been drunk or hallucinating when he called for backup after failing to shake the swine. The North
is that what the kids call it these days?
That's what they call shaking the swine.
Hey, what are you doing in there?
I'm just shaking my swine, Dad. The North Ridgeville Police Department said they received a call at 5:26 a.m. Saturday morning. Upon arrival, they discovered a man who was totally sober but still being followed by the pig near the city's Amtrak station.
An officer loaded the pig into his police cruiser and eventually, wouldn't he have already been in there? Eventually return it to its owner. A department spokesperson told CBS News the pig's name was Zoe. Also, we will mention the irony of the pig in a police car now, so that anyone that thinks they're funny is actually unoriginal and trying too hard, the department said in a Facebook post. Well, fuck them. They don't know how funny we are, even when we're not.
Fucking Ridgeville, Ohio. Fuck you. You know what they say about Ridgeville? That's the asshole of Ohio.
So, well, that's how you know if an apple is good.
Robert, how many chickens
would it take? I don't know if I told you that before.
How many chickens would it take to kill an elephant?
Is the elephant a vegetarian?
Why does that have to do with it? Anything to do with it? What would... Wait, let me try a different question. First off, the answer is 11.
Worst episode ever.
Which body part do you wish you could detach and why?
Well, being a guy might never mind.
You can take the term "go fuck yourself" to a whole new level.
I had all kind of stuff running through my head, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we got to draw the line somewhere in this podcast, yeah, right?
I mean, it can't always be about that. I don't know that I could. I don't know that I could come up with one. I think I need everything.
All right, I got one more.
Everything is useful to me. Okay.
I would detach one of my arms so I could use it to scratch those hard to reach places. Like a back scratcher.
Yeah, only. No, that's just, good.
I keep it on me. That's what I would do. Okay, so
Ben got me a back scratcher for Christmas one year, by the way.
Define soup.
Oh, what is soup? Shit.
What is soup?
Well, it's the liquid leavings of some meat that's been sitting in water.
Well, yeah, but not all soup has meat in it.
Yeah, like the tomato.
Vegetable soup.
It's like, yeah, vegetable soup, and yeah. It's like you smash tomatoes, and
yeah.
I don't know that I could define it.
I would say it's like ingredients that are in a liquid.
Right, liquid form.
So let me ask you, is cereal soup?
I don't have liquid fecal excrement pulled up here, so I can't.
Liquid. You don't have that drop loaded up this week?
No, because I have...
Bishak, Shack Dev.
And right below that...
Ha-ha! Salutations.
Uh-huh. Below that...
Fuckers.
Laurel.
Shut up, Yanny.
So no, I move liquid fecal excrement off, but cereal... I think by definition, it probably is considered a soup.
Probably. Okay, good. You can take that whole part out because it's stupid. So, on to the next story.
And just for that, it's going to stay. No.
I don't know.
We'll see how it goes. I don't know
what I was getting at here.
You know, you have these questions, but you don't really...
I was trying to trap you into having to say that cereal is the same thing as soup.
It just didn't
work out that way.
I did say it though,
but it's not right.
It's really not. But you made me overthink it. Now it seems like it is.
Yeah. I know, right?
This one takes us to Maine. Have you ever been to Maine? I haven't.
No. Why would I do that?
I like. Well, it's beautiful up there. It's supposed to be.
They have nice. They have nice beaches, right?
I think that I don't know that they have nice beaches. I know they've got a lot of lobster, and it gets cold as shit up there in the snow in the winter time. But I'd like to go up there because I'd like to drive past Stephen King's house since I'm, you know, fascinated with my friend Pennywise. And I like to drive through those areas, and I hear it's very, very nice. I'd like to go to anywhere in New England, but I've only been to Massachusetts for a little while. But those Vermont and Maine, those areas during the fall when the leaves change colors, I've heard has been. You know, it's one of those things that you just have to see that's nothing really, you know, if you have one thing to put on your list, it's to go up there and see it in the fall.
I don't know. Just like even the most beautiful place in the world, there's always fucking white trash dipshits that try to ruin it for everyone. For instance, three men who were caught dragging a stolen 25-foot shed behind pickup on a main road, according to police.
I had to laugh.
Best segue ever.
I had to laugh with that. Troopers were called to York County Town on Sunday by a concerned citizen who reported three men had stolen a shed from a foreclosed property on Pork Street.
Whoa.
And were dragging it away. When troopers arrived, they found the men still dragging the 25-foot-long shed, which was blocking half of Heath Road, state police said. Matthew Thompson of Lebanon, Timothy James of Pembroke, New Hampshire, and Robert Breton of Milton, New Hampshire, were arrested after troopers verified the shed was indeed stolen. And there's a picture of it. It's a big-ass shed. They're just dragging it down the road.
So what's funny is they're literally dragging it down the road.
Behind their pickup, and you know the pickup's in good shape.
Clearly. I mean, it's probably brand new. It's probably nicer than mine.
CarPlay.
It's like just dragging. It's scraping. Scraping on the road.
The next paragraph is for you. It starts, state police said Thompson.
Oh, perfect.
This is going to explain the whole thing.
This is going to put everybody who's thinking, what the fuck were they thinking? This paragraph here is going to explain why this was happening in the first place. So, all right. So get ready for this. State police said Thompson was found with crystal meth and prescription pills that had not been prescribed to him. He had crystal meth that hadn't been prescribed to him. Everybody knows you need a prescription for your crystal meth. He was charged with unauthorized taking or transfer. Hold on, I have this.
I know. I'm in my second can of this Imperial chocolate. It's good stuff.
It was good. And police, state police, if you're wondering what kind of police were involved in the incident, it's police of the type state will seek indictments for unlawful possession of a Schedule W drug, which is crystal meth without a prescription. reckless conduct,
Hello, is Al there?
Al?
Yeah, Al. Last name, alcoholic?
Let me check. Phone call for Al. Alcoholic. Shit. Is there criminal an alcoholic mischief here?
Unlawful possession of a Schedule Z drug. James and Bratton were charged with theft by unauthorized taking or transfer and are expected to be indicted on additional charges of reckless conduct. Did I read this sentence already? No.
No. Okay.
Conduct and criminal mischief, police said. All three men were taken to New York County Jail and held on a $5,000 bail. The New York County Sheriff's Office assisted with the case. We should call Gillian Graham.
I don't know. Well, there's no area code either.
She can be contacted at 791-6315. Wait, let me see if I can figure out the... Let's see here.
There you go.
Gillian Graham.
She's got a tweeter, Graham Gillian.
Oh, it's 207-791-6315. We should call her about this. See, we'll probably get her voicemail. We can enter.
She's at the Press Herald. It's 9:45 on a Friday. She's long gone.
Yeah, but we could leave her a voicemail. She lives in Bar Mills with her husband. Let me tell you about Gillian Graham. No. Is it Gillian? I think it's Jillian.
I'm just glad you say they didn't seek an indictment.
Thank you for correcting me. I've been calling her Gillian.
Hey, I'm two beers in, too, so who am I going to correct anybody?
Gillian Graham. She's been a staff writer for the
Gillian! Gillian! Please help me, Gillian!
Oh, man. She...
Gillian, I need a prescription from some crystal meth, please.
She's won regional and national awards for her work.
Yeah.
And also... She grew up in Ugunquit and graduated from University of Southern Maine. When not on the lookout for great stories such as this one, she can be found trolling flea markets and yard sales for vintage Pyrex, cooking new recipes, and spoiling her nieces and nephews. Thank you, Gillian, for this.
I don't know. She had me at vintage Pyrex and sold.
Who drags the 25-foot shed behind them? What are you going to do with that? What were they planning on doing?
Well,
the Lebanese guy. Or is there a Lebanon?
Yeah, it's in Maine? Yeah, Lebanon. New Hampshire. But the thing about it is you're dragging this shed, and in the bottom of it's either metal, so it's going to be sparking everywhere, or it's wood. And by the time you get it there, it's going to be all worn down.
It's going to be the top half of the shed. It's going to slowly be shaved down in the concrete.
I thought you said the shed was 6 foot.
Damn it, Gillian.
Gillian.
Oh, man.
Oh, well. Was that episode 65? I think it's got to be.
Yeah, probably.
We're
G for Gillian.
G is for Gillian.
Let's see if there's any other good. Gillian probably has a lot of really, she writes a lot of stories for the Press Herald. There's one, her latest is Rally in March. Oh, no, that's not funny. never mind. Westbrook police officer. Wait.
No, Westbrook that's not good either.
Officer injured when alleged drunk. Nope. Never mind. Let's see here. Stabbing. Driver who crashed into 6 parked cars in Gorham charged with operating under the influence.
Orrington boy 10 steals car, hits police cruiser.
See, these are real things. That's great. Home labs. For extracting cannabis concentrates. Oh, wow. That's great. Thank you, Gillian, for all this hard-hitting news.
Yeah, for all your work.
This week. We should, you know what? We should see if worldnewsdailyreport.com is hiring and send Gillian's resume to them.
Make sure you don't forget the Pyrex.
No, don't forget the Pyrex and the vintage Pyrex. If it's new Pyrex, she's not interested. Gillian only likes the old shit.
Kids cleaning up roadside litter discover trash is actually a couple's stolen treasure.
This is great. She really has some great news stories that she reports on.
Gillian's busy.
Gillian.
If only I could find a way to make Gillian be the show title, but I've actually got two written down here.
Oh, good.
So I'm thinking TTB065, missing parts or accessories, or
I like that.
This one you're going, well, I won't taint this one. I'm just trying to find a way to use the word taint in the subject, but TTB065 shaking the swine.
Shaking the swine's pretty good. All right.
Well,
listen up, kids.
Tell us.
I noticed that you had a phone number.
The two Bobs are on the... Oh, wait, we're doing the phone number. 530. I'm sorry. Let me try again. We do have a phone number. It's 530-882-BOBS. That's 530-882-2627. And Robert, we can also be found elsewhere on the interwebs. And where can our listeners go for that type of information and such?
Well, we are all on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at Two Bobs Podcast. Or if you go to thetwobobs.com, we have all of our episodes. We have every single beer that we've had to drink on an episode, and we have a link to every single social media, including Untappd, where we can be found.
Fantastic. We are just making it too easy for our listeners these too days. Easy.
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, fuck. I'm so tired. I needed some Cheez-Its too.
If you had Cheez-Its, you know what? The Tabasco ones. And we probably talked about this 60 episodes ago.
Don't mess with.
But the Tabasco ones are. And do you get a giant Cheez-Its or do you do regular size Cheez-Its?
No, regular size.
Okay. Not the big loaf of bread size.
No, that's fucking stupid. No, I just.
That's my line.
I like to keep it, you know, stick with what you know and what you know is to be good. Like, stick with a classic, just regular old cheddar flavored Cheez-Its. It's my jam.
It's good. The Tabasco works.
All right, fuckers. See you next week.
Bye.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. Oh, words of their own. not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast, or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it.